Well, amen. It's good to be back, and you can open your Bibles this morning to several places. I got a few places I want you to open to. Start with Psalms 12:1, Psalms chapter 12, and then Proverbs 20. Psalms 12, and then Proverbs 20 this morning. And, amen. I told the preacher, get him a manly pulpit. We won't worry about breaking them. Amen. Amen. And I was in a motel room one time. I wasn't in the room. I was in their conference room. And I'm looking for a place to study. And, you know, you got a bunch of children like I got. You can't hardly study in a motel room. And I was getting ready for the service. And I was just, they had a podium, something like that. Amen. And it wasn't really a pulpit. It was more of a, I call them podiums. And pulpits are big, you know, you can beat on them, move them around, tip them, there's all kinds of things you can do, stand on them. But anyways, I was in this motel room, and I was looking over my message, and I was kind of getting fired up, man. I was studying my message, I was getting fired up, and I just kind of laid my stuff on that podium, and I was reading over it and looking in my Bible, you know, and I was like, hey, man, wham, and I hit that pulpit and busted that motel's pulpit. One hit. I had to humble myself and go to the desk and tell the lady at the desk, and she just said, oh, don't worry about it, it's all right. I was like, hallelujah. So I got out of there quickly, amen, before they changed their mind. But anyways, me and pulpits don't get along too good. But Psalms 12:1, and then go to Proverbs 20, and now we're going to go to Hebrews 3. We'll finish up at Hebrews 3. Psalms 12, then Proverbs 20, then Hebrews 3. It's been a blessing to be here, amen. We're looking forward to being back tonight, and I'm beginning to miss my family. I'm looking forward to seeing them, so Lord willing, God will get me back safely, amen. I'm not one that shouts about flying. I don't really care too much about it, but it's good to be able to get on a plane and leave 30-degree weather and get in 70-degree weather, amen. So we're looking forward to that, and get there so quickly. But it's been good to be here. I enjoyed myself at the youth conference also. Psalms chapter 12, first, the Bible said in verse number 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Read that again. For the godly man ceaseth, he said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Look at Proverbs chapter number 20 now. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6, as we'll go to. Proverbs 20, verse number 6, the Bible said, most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Now look at Hebrews chapter number 3, if you would, verse number 5. Hebrews chapter number 3, verse 5. The Bible said, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house, a servant for a testimony, I'm sorry, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the good time we've had, Lord, this week. Father, I pray you take now this Sunday morning service, Lord, for a little while, Lord, in preaching. God, I pray you speak to the hearts of your people. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray you do a great work in their lives. We sure praise you. And thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness to us. Be with my family, Lord, I pray, and protect and watch over them. Lord, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You don't have to turn to every one of those, but I want to read them again quickly. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Here's the part I want you to pay attention to. For the faithful fail. Faithful fail from among the children of men. He said in Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Of course, Hebrews 3 is talking about Moses and his faithfulness, but can I say to you, church, I want to preach on this subject, thank God for the faithful. Thank God for the faithful. You see, many people today in our church, like the Bible says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. They enjoy talking about themselves, regardless. I mean, there's some people that, man, you just get bored with hearing about them. But anyways, there's a lot of people that enjoy saying things, even we all do it, you know. We say something like, we did this for so-and-so, or we did this at the church, and the people automatically talk about some of the good things that they've done, and a lot of people want to know sometimes their charity. They want to know their kindness that they did to somebody else, or to a church, or to a group of people, or whatever it may be. But the Bible says down there. He said, they will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You see, not many people talk about their faithfulness. You say, well, they think they were some kind of spiritual person. No, many people don't talk about their faithfulness because so many of us fail so much at faithfulness. You see, I ask you a question, where are the faithful? Can you think of anybody that you consider faithful? Do you consider yourself faithful? I want you to think, how many are truly faithful to the cross of Christ? A lady one time asked John Wesley, a preacher, that suppose he were to know, Mr. Wesley, suppose you were to know that you were going to die at 12 o'clock midnight tomorrow. She said, how would you spend the remaining of your time? He looked at her and said, well, madam, I would just intend to spend it as I do now. He said, I would preach evening and again. He said, I preach this evening and again at 5 tomorrow morning. He said, after that, I would ride to Tewkesbury, preach in the afternoon, meet the societies in the evening. He said, then I would go to Reverend Martin's house, who would expect to entertain me and talk to me and pray with me. I would pray with him and his family, he said, as I usually do. He said, I would retire at 10 o'clock. I would commend myself to my Heavenly Father. He said, I would lie down and I would rest and wake up in glory. That's a faithful man. In other words, what he was saying was, I'm not changing my schedule. He said, I'm faithful. I'm going to be faithful to God. And a faithful man, who can find? The Bible said in Luke chapter number 16, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Can I say to you, friends, some people wonder, why does God bless that church the way he blesses it? Could it be that they're faithful? Why does God bless that family the way he blesses that family? Maybe they're faithful. Why does God bless that man or that woman? Because they're faithful. Why does he bless that preacher? Because he's faithful. Why does he bless that teacher? Because she or he's faithful. Why does he bless that family member or those families that go out and get those people and bring them to church? Because they're faithful. Why does he bless that prayer warrior? Because he's faithful. Listen, church, don't forget this. God likes faithfulness. The Bible said in Proverbs 28, verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. That's a promise to you from God. God promised you in his Bible. He said, you be faithful, I'm going to bless you. He said, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. And I say this morning, thank God for those that are faithful. Thank God, friend, for a faithful man. A faithful man is one that is altogether truthful. A faithful man is one that will remain truthful to himself and faithful to God. A faithful man is one that will be truthful to others and faithful to God. A faithful man is one that can stand the test of time and yet remain faithful. But I ask you a question, a faithful man, who can find? Just like God asked. He said over in his Bible, he said, but a faithful man, who can find? God's not saying it's impossible to find a faithful man. God's saying, can you find a faithful man? In other words, there's not a lot of them. There's not a lot of people that are just faithful to God. I mean, their eyes is focused on him. They got their eyes set on Christ. They're going with God. They're faithful to God. And see, there's a lot of people that say they want to be faithful to God, but how faithful are we really to him? Let me give you a few points. Thank God for those that are faithful to tell others of him. You see, a lot of us, when we come to an old-fashioned altar, after we hear a good old-fashioned sermon on soul winning, we'll come to an old-fashioned altar and we'll say, God, I want to be a soul winner. And God, I'm going to pass out tracts. And Lord, I'm going to show up for visitation. And I'm going to go with a preacher and all the rest of the people in the church. And we're going to hand out flyers and hand out tracts. We're going to tell people about Jesus. Going to go through the whole entire city this year. And God, I want to work on that. I want to be part of that. And I'm going to be a soul winner. And we're on fire at the altar. We plan on being faithful. But when we leave, how faithful are we? Thank God for those that are faithful to tell others of him. The Bible said in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said in John 15:16, he said, ye have not chosen me. God said this, but I have chosen you. Listen, church, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now listen to me. You may not feel that God has called you to be a preacher. You say, that's right, preacher, I'm not a preacher. You may not have a desire to be a Sunday school teacher. You may not have a desire to go pick up people and bring them to church. You may not work as an usher. You say, well, I don't want to do those things. But can I say to you, there's one thing that God has called every one of us to do, and that is to be a soul winner. How faithful have we been? How faithful have we been? How faithful have you been to take a track and tell somebody about Jesus? How faithful have you been to bow your knee and pray for those or that lost soul that's nearest to hell? How faithful have you been at sincerely trying to win someone to Jesus Christ? Maybe that's why God asked the question, a faithful man, who can find? Who have you been faithful to tell about him? Let me ask you another question. Let's get a little closer to home. Who's on your heart right now that needs Christ? See, every one of us can go back to the place in our mind when we got saved. If you're sitting here this morning and you're saved, you can go back to that place and you can say, yeah, I remember where I got saved. Just like I said in the meeting, I can take you to the spot at Gilead Baptist Church in Owosso, Michigan, down this side of the platform. I can take you to the very spot where I got saved, and I can go back to that place and I can say, thank God I got saved, amen. Well, look at it this way. Think about it this way. Thank God for the faithful soul winner that was responsible for telling you about Jesus. You would not be saved today if it wasn't for that one that either preached the word of God, knocked on your door, slid a track at your job, or did something to tell you about the Lord. And we all can sit here today this morning and we can say, thank God for the faithful one that told us about Jesus. Think about the influence that one person has been on the lives of so many people through you being saved. In other words, thank God for the faithful soul winner that told your preacher about Jesus. Preacher, who was it? Your mother. Thank God for the faithful soul winner, his mother. Now you think about all the people that has been influenced because that one woman was faithful to tell her boy about Jesus. No doubt some of you have been saved here because of your preacher has led you to Christ or something like that. Thank God for the faithful soul winner that told you about Jesus. Some of you, no doubt, have done great things for God. You've been an influence to many people that have been saved, and they've gone on and told somebody else about Jesus and somebody else about Jesus. I say thank God for my uncle who was faithful, who preached the word of God, and I was saved underneath his ministry. And now I travel all over, and I have the privilege to preach to many people and see many people saved. Why? Because one man was faithful. And I say to you, friend, thank God for those that are faithful at telling somebody about Jesus. Can you put your finger on somebody's life that you touched because you were faithful? You see, there's more to this Christianity thing than just sitting in church on Sunday morning or Sunday night, amen? Who are you responsible for telling? Thank God for those that are willing to humble themselves and tell others about him. Thank God for those that are willing to be laughed at while telling others about him. Thank God for those that are willing to be persecuted while telling others about him. Thank God for those that are willing to take a loss for telling others about him and will go anywhere to tell others about him. And thank God for the soul winner that will go across the seas and tell somebody about Jesus. But thank God for the soul winner that will go across the street and tell somebody about Jesus. Listen to me, church. Thank God for those that are faithful at telling others about the Lord, but who can find them? Are you one? Do you consider yourself one? A few years before the death of Charles Spurgeon, an American lecture bureau had tried to hire him to come to America and deliver 50 lectures, speaking in all the large cities of America. And here's what they told him. As compensation, they said the Bureau offered to pay Mr. Spurgeon all his expenses and take care of his wife and a private secretary, plus they would give him $1,000 a night for each 50 lectures. But Spurgeon promptly declined to make $50,000. He said this. He said, I can do better than that. He said, I'll stay in London and I'll try to win 50 people to Jesus Christ. That's a faithful man. Some people say, oh, he's crazy. I mean, he could have got $50,000 in 50 days. That's the difference between a faithful man and an unfaithful man. A faithful man does not care what his flesh wants, but a man that's unfaithful and is not faithful, he does whatever his flesh desires. Spurgeon was given over aggressively to winning souls. He said, if sinners be damned to hell, he said, then let them leap over our dead bodies or over our bodies. He said, if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. He said, if hell must be filled, let not one go unwarned and unprayed for. And I ask you a question, church, how faithful are you? And if you are, thank God for the faithful. It has been said that 95% of all church members have never led anyone to Christ? Do you have a story of someone that you led to Christ? Can you go back in your mind and tell us about one person that you led to Jesus? Maybe that's why God said, a faithful man who can find. The Bible says in Psalm 12:1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. I ask you, church, where is our persistent, laborious love for men's souls? Where are the men that will surrender to go across the seas and care not for material goods? Where are the young men that will surrender to preach and care not for the pleasures of life? Where are the ladies that are willing to follow a man anywhere to tell others about Jesus? Can I say to you, thank God for those that are faithful. Let me give the second one. Thank God for those that are faithful to tell others about Him. Thank God for those that give so others can hear about Him. Did you know that missionaries and evangelists like me can't do it without faithful givers like you? It's impossible. Thank God for others. Thank God that others will give so that they can go and tell others of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. How faithful have you been in your tithes and offerings? How faithful have you been in giving to others and sending others out or helping someone in need? How faithful have you been at giving to missions? Can I say shame on the man or woman that will not give back to God what God has given to them? God said over there in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase, all thine increase. In other words, friend, your substance is your goods. It's your means of living. You honor the Lord with what He has blessed you with. In the book of Acts, they were selling their lands and they were giving their money to the work of God. That's why Ananias and Sapphira, they said, we're going to go sell our land. We sold it for so much, and they lied to the Holy Ghost and God killed them because God didn't want the church grieved. They didn't want the Holy Ghost grieved and the church not being in one accord because the work of God was going on. But there were many people in the church that were going out and selling their land, selling their things, bringing the money to the church and giving it to the work of God so that the work of God could go on and the work and people could do great things for God. And I say, thank God for the steward that is faithful to give what God has given him. Thank God for the steward that is faithful to give that others may hear about him. If you're one of those that are faithful at giving, you sacrifice at giving, you give your tithe, you give your missions, you give the special offerings, you gave to the teen offering, you've been faithful at giving, I say, thank God for you. Thank God for the faithful. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7 said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God's saying, if you purpose to do it, be faithful at it. If you said you was going to do it, be faithful. You sow sparingly, God said you're going to reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. In other words, it's this simple. The more you give to God, the more God gives back to you. Maybe the reason some people struggle so much is because they don't give God what they should. God said, He said in His Bible, He said, every man according to purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity. He said, God loveth the cheerful giver. And God said over there, He said, he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. You give much to self, you get back much, nothing. You give much to God, you get much back. Can I say to you, thank God for the faithful giver. Thank God for the bountiful giver. Thank God for the cheerful giver. If you're a faithful giver, thank God for you. It helps the work of God to grow. It helps the work of God to grow. It helps the work of God to go on for the glory of God. There's a little girl by the name of Haiti Wyatt. This is a very true story. They came to a small Sunday school and asked to be taken in, but it was explained to her, and they told her, I'm sorry, there's no room for you. We can't bring you in. So she couldn't go to Sunday school. In less than 2 years, this little girl, Haiti, fell ill. She got sick, and the sad thing about it is she died. No one guessed, though, about the little strange secret that she had underneath her pillow until one day they found a little torn pocketbook with 57 pennies in it. The 57 pennies were wrapped up in a little piece of paper on which the little piece of paper said this. It said, to help build the little temple bigger so that more children can go to Sunday school. For 2 years, she had saved her pennies. for the cause that was nearest to her heart. The pastor told the incident to his congregation, and the people began making donations for the enlargement of the Sunday school. The papers told it far and wide, and within 5 years, those 57 pennies had grown to be $250,000, and a Sunday school so large, anybody that wanted to come could come and sit comfortable. Why? Because there was a little girl that had a burden to give, and she couldn't give much, but she gave what she could, and it no doubt was used to transform the lives of many with just 57 pennies. And I say to you, church, listen, God don't expect you to give a lot, but he expects you to be faithful to give what you got. You see, some of you say, well, I don't have much, preacher. Give it to God. He'll bless it. He proved it in his Bible. Little boy with the loaves and fishes, God blessed it. He multiplied it. What about the widow woman who took care of Elijah? She said, I got enough just to take care of my son and me. We're going to eat one more time. We're going to die. That's it. We're done. We're finished. He said, you go get it and make it for me. God will make sure it don't waste. He took care of her. You see, sometimes people look at what they got and they say, you know what? I just can't afford to give to God like I'm supposed to. You've heard it before. You can't afford not to. And I say to those that are faithful givers, thank God for you. Thank God for those. He said in Proverbs 14:21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Proverbs 22:9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Listen to me, church. There's poor sinners everywhere in this city, and they need people like you to give so that they can hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you, have you been a faithful giver? Have you been a faithful giver? Thank God for the faithful giver. Thank God for the faithful giver so the church can operate. Amen. How do you think the lights stay on and everything is taken care of? Faithful givers. Thank God for the faithful giver that gives so the church can publish the gospel. Thank God for the faithful giver so the pastor can have his salary and do God's work. Thank God for the faithful giver so that teenagers can be reached around the world. Thank God for the faithful giver so that missionaries and evangelists can be sent out to do the work of God. Thank God for the faithful giver so that others can hear about Jesus. Thank God for the faithful giver so we can touch the lives of people around the world. Thank God for the faithful giver so that we, the church, can do a great work for God and try our best to win a world to a Savior that's dying and going to a devil's hell. And I say, if you are faithful at giving, thank God for the faithful giver. But if you're not faithful, who will be? Who will be faithful? Many people say, oh, I'm not going to do it. So-and-so will take care of it. But what if so-and-so don't? Thank God for the faithful. Thank God for the faithful that tell others about him. Thank God for the faithful that give so others can hear about him. And thank God for the faithful that abstain from sin so others can see him. You see, the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain, listen church, from all appearance of evil. That's everything. Everything. And God said, get rid of it all. He said, don't have it in your life. Why? Why are we supposed to abstain from all appearance of evil? One reason, that others may see Jesus in you. If others see you in sin and you in evil, they're not going to see Jesus. He said over there, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He said that you're a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him. They say, well, he's talking to Israel. I know he's talking to Israel. But can I say to you, friend, we can talk about that with us. Because the Bible said that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's us, amen. God has saved us. God has changed us. God has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous life. And God says, stay away from sin. Keep sin out of your life. Why? So that they can see Jesus in you, that you can show forth the praises of God, friend. Our heart should be this: I do what I do so they can see him. I say what I say so that they can see him. I dress how I dress so that they can see him. When I abstain from sin, then I am praising him. You understand, church? So that others can see him. It's not about the world seeing me. It's about the world seeing him. So many people, they put their clothes on so they can look good for the world. It's not about you. It's about him. The way we speak out in front of people, the way we act out in front of people, the way that we live our lives, the way we carry ourselves, things that we do, the faithfulness of getting up on Sunday morning and going to church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, friend, brings forth praise to Him. Your neighbors see that. Your friends see that. Your co-workers see how you live for Christ. It's not to glorify you. It's to glorify Him. It's all about Him. And thank God for the faithful that abstain from sin so others can see Jesus. See, friend, I got some guys that I've known, and preacher knows some of these men, preachers that have gone on. Jack Parchman, who I used to travel with, was a great preacher, traveled the country of America and throughout the world. He stayed faithful. A man named Tom Malone stayed faithful. Lanny Hasbrook stayed faithful. Jack Hiles stayed faithful. Jack Woods stayed faithful. Lester Roloff stayed faithful. There's been many men down through the ages that have stayed faithful. There's been many ladies down through the ages that have stayed faithful. Christ stayed faithful. Let me ask you a question. Why don't you stay faithful? Why don't we be faithful? You see, for Acts 4:13 said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Can I say to you, church, that the dark, sinful world that Peter and James and John lived in, a rejecting Christ world, an ungodly, filthy world, they said this. They said, hey, there's something different about them old boys. They've been with Jesus. In other words, they saw Jesus. Why? They were faithful. That's why. Does this world see Christ in you? Does your friends see Christ in you? Does your family see Christ in you? Does anybody see Christ in you? Are you one that readily accepts sin in your life? Is it easy for you to get involved in the filth of this world and fill your heart with lust and wicked things of the flesh? How do you expect others to see Jesus Christ in you if your heart or life resembles this world in any way, shape, or form? We have a lot of Christians today that are so-called Christians that they talk just like the world does. When you're at church, you know how to say brother and sister and amen and hallelujah and it's good to be here and what a beautiful day. But whenever you're not here, how do you talk? We got Christians today that are so-called Christians that dress like the world. They look just like them. They drink like the world. They listen to the same music of the world. They go to the same places. They lie and cheat and steal just like the world. They get involved in the fornication and adultery of the world. They call themselves Christians, yet they resemble this world so much. And I say to you, church, it's not about seeing you. It's about Him. And if you resemble this world in any way, you are not faithful that others see in Christ in you. Because that word Christian, you know what it means, Christ-like. So before you do something, is it Christ-like? But those that are faithful, thank God for you. Thank God for the faithful. Where are the faithful? Why wouldn't you have some grit in your crawl and be faithful to Christ and say, well, from now on, I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to keep my heart and mind on God. I'm going to stay clean from sin that others may see Him. Why would you feed the desires and the lust of this flesh? Why not stay faithful? Many wonder why God's not using them to see souls saved. Maybe they're not faithful. They wonder why God's not using them like He uses others, because maybe they're not faithful. They wonder why very few today are surrendered to the work of God, and we wonder why the world cares nothing about our Savior. We wonder why the world's going to hell and missions are not sought after anymore. Can I say to you, church, we lack faithfulness. Where are those that are willing to be faithful and abstain from sin? There's very few today that say, I'm going to live a holy, clean, separated life. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody does. I'm walking and I'm going with Jesus. Where are the faithful? Where are those? Where are those that are willing to go in their closet and throw the world's clothing out, go in their car and throw the world's music out, and go in their house and throw everything out that has to do with the world and chunk all the world's stuff out of their life and say, I'm going to be faithful to God, and grab a hold of their Bible and read that Bible and faithfully every day and spend some time with God faithfully every day and pass out tracts and tell people about the Lord as much as you possibly can? Where are those that are faithful? Why not be faithful? Why not just say, I'm going to buckle down, I'm going to be faithful to God? And those of you that are, thank God for you. Thank God for the faithful. Matthew 5:16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I say to you, church, stay faithful to your church. Stay faithful to your family. Stay faithful to your God. Stay faithful to your ministry. Stay faithful. Thank God for the faithful. Those that worked in that teen conference and worked so hard, some of you were here early in the morning and up late at night. Thank God for you. Thank God for the faithful. Some of you have given and given and given. Thank God for the faithful. It cannot go on. You cannot go on. You cannot do great things for God. This church will not grow for God. Those teens would not have gotten saved. Others would not have gotten saved. Missionaries would not be sent out. Your preacher could not do a great work for God if it wasn't for the faithful. Thank God for the faithful. Thank God for you. Thank God for the faithful that are faithful even when it's hard. Where are the faithful men? Where are the faithful women? Where are the faithful teenagers? Let me read you a story and I'll be done. This is about a preacher. In 1911, there was a statewide fight to rid Texas of the curse of liquor. W.D. Davis was the mayor of Fort Worth, Texas, there in America. A very strong, dynamic, and colorful personality Mr. Davis had, and he had built many public works for the city. Among them, he constructed a huge dam at Lake Worth, and he was a liberal of all liberals and believed in a wide-open town. Dr. Norris was a preacher, of course. He secured a permit to put a big tent up at 10th in Houston. And the whole block was vacant at that time. So Harry Bernhardt toured America to break the theater trust. She had a huge circus tent at Fort Worth, and her last place that she gave her concert was there. And then she stored the big tent. Years afterwards, Norris bought it from storage. A great revival broke out, and there can be no revival without naming and fighting every manner of evil, and that is exactly what Norris did. One day, Mayor Davis called him up and said, "You got to take that tent down. It's causing too much trouble." Norris went down to the mayor's office, and there was a red-hot argument, and the mayor sent the fire department down and cut the tent all to pieces. Norris stood under the clear sky and preached that night and talked about excitement. Norris, Dr. Norris, went after the mayor and his crowd. The mayor retaliated and went after Norris. W.P. Lane was a state comptroller. He reported to Norris how the city was $400,000 short in its public funds. Dr. Norris demanded that the mayor give an account of the money. The mayor called his crowd of 3,000 together and said, "No boys or women allowed under the age of 21. And the mayor began to vilely and bitterly denunciate the man of God and began to heap upon him all kinds of ungodliness. Dr. J. Frank Norris, he closed by saying this in his meeting: "If there be 50 red-blooded men in this town, there's a preacher that will be hanging from a limb before daylight." Someone who was present heard the mayor's fiery speech and called Dr. Norris and told him he better leave town, he better get away from his home. He did leave home, but he came up to the crowd where the mayor was, amen, only a few blocks from his house. When he walked up, the group quickly dispersed, and Dr. Norris returned home. The next night, the First Baptist Church was burned, and the excitement, the mass meetings, the counter-mass meetings, and the mayor's crowd raised $20,000 and brought the head of the Burns Detective Agency to Fort Worth to frame Dr. Norris. Afterwards, the mayor was suddenly stricken with appendicitis. He waited too late, and peritonitis had set in, and the surgeon told him, "Mr. Mayor, if you got anything to attend to, you better do it at once." The mayor said, "Call J. Frank Norris." It was 1 a.m. in the morning. Dr. Norris lived just a short distance from the hospital. When he went into the room, Mr. Davis, the mayor, was having a cold sweat of death that was on his brow. He said, "Please get those women in your church to pray for me." Dr. Norris called his wife. She then called several faithful women and men. They gathered at the church and began to pray. Dr. Norris started to leave the hospital room, and the mayor said, "No, don't leave. Stay with me." Dr. Norris then led his bitter enemy to Christ. He became his warmest friend. And I say to you, where are the faithful that will stand at any cost? Where are the faithful that will stand when trouble comes, when heartaches come, when difficulty comes, when financial trouble comes? Can I say to you, church, thank God for the faithful. Thank God for those that are faithful to tell others of him. Thank God for the faithful that are giving so others can hear about him. And thank God for the faithful that abstain from sin so others may see him. Let's all stand with our head bowed, eyes closed. Sis, if you begin to play. Father in heaven, thank you, God, for faithful people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness. I pray you take this message, Lord, and encourage the hearts of your people. But at the same time, Lord, I pray that you would use it as a rebuke to those that are not faithful. And Heavenly Father, I pray that, God, He put a desire in people's hearts to be faithful. God, thank God for the faithful. Lord, there's faithful churches that help us, Lord Jesus, get around this country, and I say thank God for them. Lord, thank God for this church that has been faithful, Lord, to work hard to see people saved. Thank God for those that are faithful. God, I pray that your people would be faithful. If no one looking around, sis,